Turn your Bibles to the 75th Psalm, Psalm 75. You should have a pew Bible there because this is going to require some reading by all of us today. It's on page 618 and 619. If you can get one from behind. If you're in the first row there, you have to go to the next row and pull one out there. There's 10 verses here, and it is set up a certain way where it is everybody repeating verse 1, so we'll all do that. And then the voice of God comes in, and I'll do that myself, verses 2 through 5. Then everyone else again in verses 6 through 8. And then the psalmist, which is Asaph here, himself in verses 9 through 10. And I'll call on us, so you won't forget that. But this is one of those psalms that the convinced would sing to each other, knowing that God is God, and that our situations try to pull us away and to discount, discredit, disobey, distrust God. But these were saved people in the Old Testament saying, we know who God is. We know He's still among us. We know He's still doing works among us. And we're going to sing His praises no matter what happens because everything is in His hands. So you would stand for the reading of the Word? Again, we're going to do this together. We'll all read verse 1. Then I will read verses 2 through 5. We will all read verses 6 through 8, and then I will read verses 9 through 10. And we'll call today's message, His Righteousness Will Prevail. Psalm 75, His Righteousness Will Prevail. Are we ready? Read verse 1. We give thanks to You, O God. We give thanks for Your name is near. We recount Your wondrous deeds. Now just me. At the set time that I appoint, I will judge with equity. When the earth totters and all its inhabitants, it is I who keep steady its pillars. Selah there means pause. I say to the boastful, do not boast, and to the wicked, do not lift up your horn. Do not lift up your horn on high or speak with haughty neck, all of us. For not from the east or from the west, and not from the wilderness comes lifting up. But it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. For the hand of the Lord, there is a cup with foaming wine, well mixed, and He pours out from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs. And now me. But I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be lifted up. Father, You are God. You are the potter. We are the clay. Speak into our hearts and mold us in what You would have us to be today. We know we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and it is His name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Always a lot of uncertainty in the world, perhaps in your family, in your personal life, the life of loved ones, and the politics and the local politics and the state politics and the national, international, always a lot of things going on. There's lots of reasons to look and doubt what's really going on here, whether it's your health, your wealth, or your status, your reputation, whatever it may be. But these people here in Psalm 75 were facing impending danger. It doesn't say exactly what was going on here. And this was sung, it says, to the tune of Do Not Destroy. And we don't know exactly what that was. But as we broke it up, you could see it's these people that are saved people. They know. They're proclaiming the praise of God publicly. The righteous ruler and judge of the earth. This is in the face, again, of danger. And it's anticipating relief, retribution, and reward that are in God's hands alone. We could call this message, In His Hands. Remember we used to sing, He's got the whole world in His hands. Remember we used to sing, put your hands in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. Got to keep singing. Put your hands in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. I was like 5 years old when that came out and I still remember it. And praise the Lord, I'm still doing it. This is what they were doing. Again, verse 1 is spoken by the congregation. And then Asaph writes the words of God that he is saying. And then they say it together. You know what? Because of what you said, this is what's going to happen. We know it. And then the psalmist says, I'm one of those that began this, and I'm going to continue in it. So let's look at this. The first verse 1, let's read it. I'll read it again. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds. He says, we thank you, God. We know you're real because you reveal your presence and your people tell of your amazing deeds. God is still doing the saving business today. We have our praise jar here. We have our pool of prayer. We say prayers. We have testimonies. We have people, you talk to them personally. You talk to them privately. Or they say publicly, say, you know, God is good. I know things are down, but you know what? God is doing this. He's done this in my life. Look what he's done. And hopefully you can see Jesus through that. It's not just look how good God is to me, because sometimes it's not going well for other people. And so they say, well, I must not be, God must not favor me. It's like when people say, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm careful with that language because I'm not more favored than you. I've got all that pertains to life and godliness through those precious promises. I've been made a partaker of the divine nature. I can add to my faith what we've been studying, right? We walk this thing out. We prove Jesus to our own selves and we become fruitful and hopeful and effective in the kingdom of God. And if not, we become nearsighted. Things get bigger than Jesus. These are people that didn't have the revelation of Christ yet, but they knew who God was, and they were saying, I know he's still working. He's still among us. That's why we meet on Sundays and as often as we can. So we can worship God and say, he's still alive. Amen. Anybody know that? Yeah. He's real. He reveals his presence to us. And the people tell of his amazing deeds. Now let's look at verse 2, because there's three main things I want you to see. And here comes the first one. The first one is, time is in God's hands. Time is in God's hands. Look at verse 2. It says, at the set time that I appoint. At the set time that I appoint, I will judge with equity. It means fairness. Time is in God's hands, and he will judge things perfectly. He will avenge his people. He will make things right. Like we wrote in our book, Saved by Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus Christ isn't just that man is reconciled to God. Thankfully, it's that. But when he came out of that tomb, it was like a womb, and a whole new creation was just beginning. And it is going to, it starts now with Christ and those that are born again, and then they will receive new bodies. But the whole universe will be renewed. There is going to be a big bang. You know that. 2 Peter 3 talks about that. The whole heavens and the earth will dissolve and melt, and there'll be a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Therefore, how holy ought we to be? How set apart we be? We know that something's coming. Time is in God's hands. There's a lot of things going on, and we think, wow, you know, it doesn't seem like God knows what he's doing, but believe me, he has time in his hands. And he says, I appoint the times, the seasons. I know what's going on. I see you. I see your troubles. I see what's going on. I see how they're troubling you. I see how people have malice and anger and bitterness and contempt. I see the despair. I see the destruction. I see people doing sex trafficking. I see people making people slaves. I see people that are taking advantage of people that are lesser and weak and all that. And I am doing something about it. But I have time in my hands. And I have appointed time. I will avenge my people. Can we say time is in God's hands? Amen. Time is in God's hands. Say, time is in God's hands. It's the first thing that you need to know when things are not going well. I've told people many times, you pray that his righteousness would prevail. When the job isn't going well, pray his righteousness would prevail. When somebody in your family is just, they're just wayward, know that his righteousness would prevail. When people are being misused and mistreated and all of these other things, that his righteousness would prevail. And it will. But it's on God's timetable. You can't just pray, Lord, I pray that your righteousness would prevail because somebody is accusing me of stealing and it's them that are stealing. And it may mean that you get fired. You've got to understand God is the just judge, and it doesn't mean everything that goes on with you is going to be so perfect and well and all that. More like, see, faith isn't the ability to get out of stuff. Faith is the ability to trust God and endure through that stuff. Man, because otherwise, when things are going good, I have faith and I have this, and let me tell you about it, brother. Yeah, whatever, man. It's more like if God shows up and heals my body, amen. If God shows up but doesn't heal my body, amen. He will. That's what they said. That's the first thing you've got to realize about God. Time is in his hands. Let's say it once again. Time is in God's hands. Now look at verse 3. Are you with me?
Yes.
Look at verse 3. It says, when the earth totters and all its inhabitants, it is I who keep steady its pillars. You see, God is preventing the world from being totally overrun by chaos right now. You see lots of chaos. You see lots of calamity. You see lots of catastrophe. The whole earthquakes and lightning and all kinds of stuff, hurricanes, whatever it may be. The earth totters and shakes, and then there's war. And then people are so frightened. There's a lot to be frightened about. You see terrorism coming and coming and coming in the name of religion, and all these things happen. So people are afraid. The earth seems to be afraid. It's shaking. But what does he say here? When the earth itself totters and all its inhabitants, it is I who keep steady its pillars. So you can imagine, here's the world. And here it's shaking. And of course, like the snowflakes in that globe, they're all moving around, but God has got it in his hands. He's the master of time. He's the Lord of time. He's above and beyond time, but in time, he is having the world in his hands. And he keeps it from getting as bad as it could be, because it could be a lot worse. That's not nothing very comfortable in one sense, but when the world trembles in fear, he's still holding it up till the appointed time. He's still in charge of it. Time is in God's hands, but the second thing you need to see is the earth is in God's hands. Can we say that? The earth is in God's hands. So here's these wicked people, and they're doing all these wicked things, and you're getting treated wickedly, and bad things happen to you, and it doesn't seem like God is there for you, but let me tell you, he has appointed a time to vindicate you, to give you the victory, not the wicked people, and even if they took over the whole earth, he's got the earth in his hands. And they're making the earth tremble, and they've got nuclear bombs, and they've got millions of people, and they've got this, and they've got that, and they could take over the entire world, and it's nothing. They could take over the world and the universe, and it's nothing, because he's got the universe in his hands. He's not just the creator, he's the sustainer. He could give them all the power in the world to even beat himself, and he could still beat them. Because unless he gives it life, it doesn't have life. The only thing that has life in itself is God. It's not that God is just the biggest kid on the block and he could point at you and wipe you out. It's that if he's not giving you life right now, you don't exist. And so here's the thing. Yes, the truth is that the wicked right now, God is allowing it to happen. But time is in his hands. The earth, the universe is in his hands. And he's letting them fill the cup of his wrath. And you'll see the cup coming up. Because here he has the world in one hand and a cup in the other hand. Jesus saw that cup and was very afraid, but he took that cup for us. But men are filling that cup because what does it say in the further verses? It says, well mixed. It's going to be his wrath and their own wrath. Their own conscience forever will be tormenting them. That's getting ahead of myself. But time is in God's hands. Amen? The earth is in God's hands. That means the universe, everything is in God's hands. He knows they're being wicked. Even if they blaspheme and say, it doesn't matter. Even when you don't understand why God allowed this or why God allowed that, he is doing things in his time and he will do things right. He says, I will judge. It doesn't just mean you go to hell and you go to heaven. It means all things. He'll bring everything under account. Boy, you better be under Jesus. Oh, because he's going to answer people that think they know better. But a lot of people think they know better. They think they're getting away with it. They're not. Hitler could have taken over the entire world. And he's not getting away with anything. They seem to get away with it for now, but they will never get away with it forever. Again, there are people, and these people are saved, and they're saying, God, I know time is in your hands. God, I know the earth is in your hands. And God says, I say to verse 4, I say to the boastful, do not boast, and to the wicked, do not lift up your horn. God says, don't be proud. There's a lot of people that are proud today. They think, I've got all I need. Why do I need Jesus? Oh, you got Jesus, it works for you. But I've got enough money to get out of whatever I want. I got chicks, man. Don't need no Jesus. I got a good job. I help people. I do this, I do that. My life isn't empty. And they're proud. They lift themselves up against God. And he says to the wicked, don't be so sure of victory. If you could get everything you ever wanted, all the money, all the sex, all the, you know, your kids are doing right, you could point at things and make them happen. You had the Midas touch in every aspect of life. It's nothing compared to God. You know, we get up to heaven, it's going to be wonderful. But heaven could have all the riches and all the satisfaction, this, that, and the other thing, everything you've ever wanted and more, far beyond what you could ever even imagine. But if Jesus isn't there, it's not heaven. So some people think, ooh, heaven is a place on earth. Oh, my goodness. Not yet. Not till after the Big Bang. Not until there's a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. That's the heaven I want to be at, because Jesus will be the light of the city. It'll be Jesus there. But the proud people say, I've got it made. I'm telling you, you could have all the Marvel superhero powers that you want, and you're nothing compared to God. But God's going to give us himself. So you're chasing after all these things, and they mean nothing. It's not like if you have brains, go be a doctor. Sure, I'm not saying that. If you have money, use it and give some to the church and all that. Yeah. Okay, fine. But there's proud people. They think they're getting away with wickedness, and some people are doing good things, and it's still wickedness. You see, the saved people are the people that aren't proud and say, we know that God is God, and we're not. And then no matter how far we get along in life, we need him for life. Yes. It's the wicked that say, no, I made that money. Flush. I'm telling you. You need to know the difference between the wicked and the good. But there are none that are good. None seek after God. No, not one. But he says, let there be light into your heart. And then you see the truth of who he is. He has an appointed day when we will all come before him. Time is in God's hands. The earth is in God's hands. Don't be so proud. Don't be so confident of victory. Oh, I know better than that. I have a PhD in science. Good for you. I've went to school. Okay? You think science is so wonderful? Einstein, Kepler, Isaac Newton, right? They all believed in God. They may not have been perfect Christians or anything like that, but the truth is, the world makes a lot more sense with God in it than not in it. And there's plenty of smart people that know Jesus. And there's plenty of stupid people that know Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But you don't want to be a fool. A fool is someone that knows the right thing and refuses to do it. And so you think, I don't need to come to church. I don't need to be involved. I don't need to give my heart to God. I said a prayer when I was 7. I did this. Me and Jesus got our own thing going on. Really? Really. Very, very dangerous. He saves you to have a relationship with him. And the people that have a relationship know. They gather together. They say, time is in his hands. The earth is in his hands. We encourage one another. That's what they were doing. These were a bunch of convinced people that were saying, I know things are bad, and the locomotive is about to hit us. But Jesus is still Jesus. God is still God. Time is in his hands. He will make this right. If someone is after you, if the boss is after you, if your spouse is after you, if the government's after you, if everybody on earth is after you, but Jesus is with you. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me. Arise, arise, deliver me, O my God. I think that's Psalm 4. Look at verse 5. Anybody still with us? He says, do not lift up your horn on high. Now he's saying, do not lift up your horn in verse 4. He says, no, do not lift your horn on high. Don't think you're better than me. Or speak with haughty neck. Don't be so certain you've won. You're 15 or 16 years old and you're the president of the school and the beauty queen or the football captain and everybody likes you and you're going to Harvard and this, that, and the other thing. Good, I'm glad. But be careful. Don't lift up your horn so high. Let me tell you something real quick about lifting your horn so high. You put yourself in the place of God, because if I was going to compare myself to you, let's say I was looking at you, and I said, well, you know, I've got my master's degree, I know 4 languages, I've been a Christian this long, I help people out, I came to this little tiny county to help people out there, I should be doing this thing to think, well, you know, I'm better than you. As soon as you do that, you become a word. It's called self-righteous. And I can prove it, because it just means me compared to you, which is not true anyway, brother, but I'm righteous. But here's the deal. The difference between me and Hitler is closer than the difference between me and God. He's that much better. Doesn't mean I'm like him, and thank God I'm not going to be like him, and thank God he's changing me, and he's gone. I'm going to be perfect one day. But I'm not there yet. When you keep your eyes on Jesus, you become humble. You don't become self-righteous. You don't lift up your own horn. What did the Apostle Paul do? At the beginning of his ministry, he said, I am doing more than all these apostles, 1 Corinthians 15. But then later in his life, he said, I'm really the least of all the apostles. I was kind of born out of time and all that. And, you know, I used to persecute the church and all that. Then at the end of his life, he goes, I'm the chief of sinners. Now, was he actually getting worse in his life? No. He was getting even more humble. He was getting better and better. But first he saw himself here and God right here. Then all of a sudden he got way up here, but God wasn't way up there. He was further than that. This is not morbid introspection where you're just beating yourself up. It's realizing who God really is and not lifting up your own horn because you're blowing your own horn and it's wrong. Don't be so proud. And see, when you're a Christian, you can do that and you can be humble and you understand that. But this goes for the wicked people too. He's saying, don't lift up your horn on high. Don't think that you've won. Again, you could take over the whole earth. You could have complete power. God could give you all these supernatural-like powers, and you still haven't won. It's as if God is letting the devil move all the chess pieces on the board, and then he has to make one move somehow, and it's the one that wins. And he's orchestrating it all. We don't understand all that, but time is in his hands. The earth is in his hands. Don't be so certain you've won. You've got it all figured out, because I guarantee you personally don't. Don't speak with your head held so high. Now he gets back into the people. They say, because of this, because we know this, because God has appointed a time, because even when the earth is shaken and the people are shaken, God's the one that's got it in his hands. We know something about this. We know, because he's told those wicked people, or all of us, don't get proud. Proud brought the devil down. He says, for not from the east or from the west. This is people drawing conclusions. This is the conclusion that we need to draw. For not from the east or the west, and not from the wilderness comes lifting up. Nothing on earth gives final victory. This isn't the end of the matter. He's got time in his hands. He's got the earth in his hands. He says, watch what you're doing. Don't get proud. Don't lift yourself up. Don't think I can do wickedness now and then God will forgive me later. That's perverse. Born-again people don't think like that. They still sin. They still sometimes want to sin and do it. But they're not perverting the grace of God and turning it into a license for evil. Oh, it doesn't really matter. Are you going to say that to God? There's nothing that you, no amount of stuff that you do for God or live for God and give your life to God and all, you're not going to regret that when you get up there. What you're going to regret is all those excuses you made. And you might be walking in there, yay! I hope you are. I hope you've trusted in God. But let him sink down into your life now. This is bottom line stuff. These guys and girls and people were under imminent danger. And they said, look, we don't know everything, but we know this. We know God and his righteousness will prevail because he's got time. He has got the earth. He is doing these things. And nothing on earth, no matter what those wicked people are able to accomplish, even if they take your life, they can't take your soul. Even if that false religion, which is any but Christianity, takes over the earth and makes us slaves and martyrs us and kills us, it doesn't stop Jesus. The gates of hell will not prevail. This isn't the end of the matter. Look at verse 7. It isn't the earth that gives victory. This isn't the final victory. God has a time. God's got the earth. It's God who executes judgment. But it is God who executes judgment, pulling down one and lifting up another. Putting down one, lifting up another. God is the one who has the final say. Again, we're not going into all these other Bible verses and showing you how God says this is true. These are people that are convinced. They're singing it to one another. Maybe you haven't been to church in a while, or maybe you don't come with your heart, or maybe you do. I don't know. The point is that is something stirring in you saying this is the truth. These people know that this is the truth, and they're saying, look, God's the one who has the final say. Believe me, he's got time. No matter what it looks like it's going on right now, it ain't going to end that way. It's going to end the way God says it. He's got the whole earth. They could be shaking the earth. And God just sitting there going, oh, cool. Yeah, I got it. He's got it. He's got it. God's the one who has the final say. He's the one who has the power, and he's the one who will bring down one and exalt the other. Who's he going to bring down? The one that exalt themselves. Who's the one he's going to exalt? The one that humble themselves. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. God opposes the proud. Opposes. So I'm 5'2", I'm over 50, I've had a stroke and a heart attack and almost lost my eyesight. So get just about anybody here, except maybe a couple of the kids, I don't know. Maybe they could all whip me, probably. But let's say you're 6'8", 380 pounds, MMA fighter, and you got the little Veronica on the other side, right? You think, wow, what a mismatch. How about you with nothing and God with everything? Because again, unless he's giving you life, you don't have it. It's a non-starter. Life, you're opposing God, and he's just letting it happen right now. So people think they're getting away with it because, you know, it's like a little kid or like a 7-foot guy with me. He just put my hand on my head and just hold me there. I think I'm swinging. I think I'm real close. I'm going to knock this guy out, and it's not going to happen. God's laughing. He puts us in derision when we think like that. Who is going to be exalted? Those that humble themselves before God. And if you realize who God was, you would. The reason you don't is because you don't. Are you hearing God's voice right now? God opposes proud. Here I am. I'm Thor. I'm the Hulk. I'm Hitler. I'm Genghis Khan. I've got all the power. I'm the Molecule Man or whatever new creation they come up with. I can do all these things, and on the other side is God, who wins. You can't even imagine someone more powerful than God. Again, they can imagine people, but they're inside of a universe. He's bigger than that. If you want to think in terms of big, it's metaphysical. It's much bigger than that. God opposes the proud and gives grace. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. But we get it to the humble. Yeah, that's what we need to do, is you need to be here and humble yourself before God. I don't like these people. Believe me, he's going to straighten it out. But you might want to look at yourself first. And before you even do any of that, look at Jesus first. Then look at yourself. Then look at Jesus. Then look at them. And then help them. Then you could be incarnate love, if I could say it that way. God's the one who has the final say. He's the one that has the power, and he's the one who will bring up one and bring down another. Now look at verse 8. There's only 10 verses, so we're almost there. Anybody with us?
Yes.
For in the hand of the Lord, there it is, there is a cup with foaming wine, well mixed, and he pours out from it, and all of the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs. So here's God. He's got time in his hands. Here's the earth. Here's all the inhabitants, all the wicked, and they're making it shake, and there's disasters, and there's injustice and malice, and again, sex trafficking and terrible things. And here they are filling that cup. He's like holding the cup underneath and letting it all spill under there. And then he's got his own wrath there and he pours it out on them. God has a cup waiting for the wicked. And he will make the wicked drink the wine of his wrath all the way down to the last drop. What do you think that means? It means forever. It means forever. I want to say something about heaven and hell here. It should burden your conscience when you think about people in torment. But and some people, you know, they're okay with it, and some people, you know, aren't, and they think, how could I ever, and all that. You'll know God was right when you get there. Believe me. But it doesn't have to be fire. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be just being alone. There's some different pictures the Bible gives. I'll just tell you this. If you're in heaven, you will like it, and if you're hell, you won't. Old Adrian Rogers told me that when I was 3 years old. I don't know all everything about heaven, but you will like it. And I don't know everything about hell, but you will not like it. You won't like it. And it's your conscience. Your conscience will be there. Your own wrath. You'll be seeing, well, that little guy was telling me all about Jesus. And I said, no, no, no. And every time I left the church, I hardened my heart. Today is the day of salvation. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Enter into his rest. But he's got this cup. and he's pouring it out. It says now that he's pouring it out. Romans 1 says that his wrath is being poured out. But it's really, it seems to be that wrath against each other. If he lets us be just who we want to be, that's horrible. The worst thing that ever happened to you is you get everything you want. Let me tell you. Jesus changes what you want. Doesn't mean we do it perfectly, but we begin to do it purposefully. But the people that purpose in their hearts to do evil, the people that purpose in their hearts to do evil, which means not trusting God, because even the plowing of the wicked is sin. Not consciously giving glory to God, not saying this is a revelation of God, not seeing science and art and history and all these things as pointing to God. Where are your values? These people value God. They go, we ain't got it all figured out. Some of us are real smart. Some of us aren't very smart. Some of us have a lot of money. Some of us don't have any money. Some of us are tall. Some of us are short. Some of us are black. Some of us are white. Some of us are fat. Some of us are thin. Some of us are about to die. Some of us have a long life left ahead of us. But we know this. Through all this stuff, it doesn't prove there is no God. It proves there is. What's your alternative? Four? Buddha? Our God's the only one that is... Anyway. You see, God is a cup waiting for the wicked. Your future, whether it's going to be heaven or hell, is in His hand. So, let's say those things again. Time is in God's hands.
Time is in God's hands.
The earth is in God's hands.
The earth is in God's hands.
Your future is in God's hands.
Somebody
heard it. My future is in God's hands. And it means also those wicked that are doing those things to your children, that have done those things to you, all these things, God will judge that. You hope that they come to Jesus Christ and it's forgiven because you've been forgiven things too. But I'm telling you, those that don't trust Jesus Christ, they will pay. And they'll drink that cup down to the dregs. And God's got an infinite cup. And you will know that He is just. He says, I have set a time, then I've appointed it, and I will judge with equity. The only just judge in the universe is God Himself. Time is in God's hands. The earth is in God's hands. Your future is in God's hands. Can anybody know that's the truth?
Yes.
It is the truth. Your future is in God's hands, whether it's 5 minutes from now or 50 years from now or eternity. You will live for eternity for somewhere. Somewhere you're going to be there. And I'll be bold enough to say you'll know Jesus. Because those will be people in heaven, and if Jesus will be revealed to them, they'll be going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And there'll be people in hell. There ain't going to be little devils torturing you. Guess who it's going to be? People say, Jesus isn't in hell. Depends on what you mean by that. He's not in hell with His loving presence, but He's in hell. Like the demon said, have you come to torment us before the time? The demons get tormented. They'll see Jesus and think, what were we thinking? And that's what people will be doing. They'll be saying, No. You see, physical suffering and all that is one thing. But that's not, come on, parents. That's nothing compared to mental anguish. You said be home at 11 and it's 6 o'clock the next day. You're throwing up. Can't calm your wife down. You don't know what's going on. It's been a wreck or something's happened. It's anguish. It's torture. I'm sorry. But you know what I mean? It's torture. It's worse. Now imagine that forever. We have tender conscience in here, so please forgive me. But that's the thing. Even those things, God's going to get them right. You planted those seeds. You planted those seeds. They'll come home. My dad was 70 years old when he got saved. Right? Things can happen. God's got it in His hands. No matter how much is shaken, no matter how much they want to disco and shake, and if they could take over the whole world and do everything they wanted wrong, God still got it. He still got it. We got to trust in that. This is bottom line stuff. He says, I've got time in my hands. We think there's no time. We're the tyranny of the urgent, but He's just slow and steady, and He's always winning the race. And suddenly, when it needs to happen, that's when it'll happen. He'll come like a thief in the night. The earth is in His hands. The whole earth could say, we hate you, God. And they do now. Everybody says it except those He makes born again. Even if they don't think so. They don't really say anything against Jesus, but they sure ain't giving Him His life. And He deserves it. He's God. And your future's in God's hand. Now, the psalmist makes this personal. He goes, here we are. We all said it. We heard God's perspective. We heard our conclusions based on that, because God has time, because God has the earth. We know he has the future. That is it. Don't get too proud. Stay humble. He makes it personal with his praise. Verse 9, he says, but I will declare it forever. Not saying, and you fools don't do it, but I don't believe you. No, he's saying, as for me, I'm in. I believe it. I'm not just singing it. I'm living it, baby. I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. As for me, I will continually tell what you have done and sing praises. Anybody got a good story to tell about Jesus? Amen. Anybody got a good story to tell about Jesus? We want to sing his praises. You guys sing a lot of songs before you start preaching. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 10. Some, except for the ones that can outfox me. Oh, wait. Most of them, but not you, because you're smarter than me. Okay, wait. I don't really see everything or know everything, and I don't really know the future, so the future's not really fixed, so I'm just kind of reacting to it, even though I have all this power. No. He knows the future. He has fixed it. Now, you don't have to try to figure all that out. Don't figure all that out. Don't be proud. Don't say, well, C.S. Lewis wrote God in the dock. Are we going to put God on the docket? Are we going to accuse God? What are you doing? God isn't just the most powerful. He's got it all figured out, period. It's our pride that makes us try to make decisions based off that. The only decision you need to make is, he's got the future in my hand. My future's in his hands. All the horns. Somebody say, all the horns of the wicked I will cut off. Not somebody else. I'll do it. I'll bring everything into right standing. I will reconcile. Jesus is the great reconciler. Some will be reconciled in the wrong way. Some will be reconciled. Every knee shall bow in heaven, in earth, under the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Those demons will willingly do so. Everybody will, because they'll know. And they'll have to. Bow the knee now. That's exactly right. It's hard to think about God and his justice and his wrath and being happy about it, but you will be. How can I be happy when I know my grandma, my grandpa, or whoever else, my child, whatever else is there? I don't know exactly, but I know this, you will be, because Revelation pictures it that way, and we know God's ways are higher than ours, and his thoughts are more than ours, and God knows the secrets of men's hearts. And he redeems people still. Amen. Amen. He's still working salvation today. But the horns of the righteous shall be lifted up. The horns of the wicked will be cut off. The horns of the righteous shall be lifted up. He says, I know and I believe what you've promised, that you will bring down all the power of the wicked, and the godly will be victorious. Can I get an amen on that? All these people doing all these foolish and wicked things, they're either going to get right by God and stop doing those things, or they're going to wind up split hell wide open and God will be the judge. Boy, I believe in foxhole religion. Turn to Jesus now. Because it's the 11th hour and his coming is soon. And I can say that and it always be true, because every second is 1 second closer. But he has appointed the time. And he's appointed the time for you. You know when it is? You just missed it. What if it was? I'll be ready. Remember old Larry Norman singing in the 70s? You've been left behind. You know? Who's not going to be left behind? I won't. I can't wait. Even so, come Lord Jesus. I'm going to finish with a little something I saw online a few years ago, and I kind of reworked it a little bit, so I don't know who to give credit to, but I'll just give credit to the Lord. Because we talk about being in his hands, right? In his hands. A basketball in my hands, again, I'm 5'2" and I'm over 50, is worth about $20. A basketball in Steph Curry's hands is worth about $40 million a year. That's not even including endorsements. Depends on whose hands it's in. A baseball in my hands is worth a few dollars. A baseball in Clayton Kershaw's hands is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. He's making $30 million a year, again, without endorsements. Depends on whose hands it's in. A rod in my hands will keep away an angry dog. I've got one. It's called Seymour, by the way. the old threshing thing, and I took it out, and it's got a couple of sticks in it, or poles in it. Yeah, anyway. Pretend like I'm Kung Fu guy, but anyway. A rod in my hands will keep away an angry dog. A rod in Moses' hands will part the Red Sea. Depends on whose hands it's in. A slingshot in my hands is a kid's toy. A slingshot in David's hands is a mighty weapon. Depends on whose hands it's in. Two fish and five loaves in my hands will make a few fish sandwiches. Two fish and five loaves in Jesus' hands will feed thousands. Depends on whose hands it's in. Nails in my hands might produce a birdhouse, and it's certainly going to produce a lot of wounds. Nails in Jesus Christ's hands produce wounds that save the world. It depends on whose hands it's in. Time is in God's hands. The earth is in God's hands. Your future is in God's hands. So you need to put your concerns, your worries, your fears, your hopes, your dreams, your families, and your relationship in God's hands, because it depends on whose hands it's in. Father, thank you for your word. Father, we pray now that in all situations, your righteousness would prevail. We know that it is going to. Father, we do ask for justice. But Lord, the truth is we got justice right now, we all die. We thank God that justice and mercy have kissed. And love is won in the person of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, burn this word into our hearts that we would be singing your praises no matter our problems. No matter the pressures, the calamity, the chaos, the catastrophe, that we know that we are in your hands and the whole earth could shake and our whole world could be shaken. But you are shalom and making us whole. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Help us to walk in those things and to know you, and that your righteousness will prevail. In Jesus' name, amen.